this week's Sedra, Parshas Ekev, we read the way Moshe Rabbeinu describes that he was staying in Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights to receive the Torah. Then he was praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 40 days and 40 nights that he should forgive the Jewish people for the Chet HaEgel, and then he received the Luchos Shniyos. The whole story is, we read about part of it last week in Parshas Vayeschanan, and the story is continued in this week's Sedra. So in this week's Sedra, the Gemara Megillah points out there seems to be, apparently, there seems to be a contradiction between the two Psukim. When Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, was he in a standing position or in a sitting position? One pasuk says, Anochi amadeti bahar, abayim yayim, abayim loyla. He was standing on Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. The other pasuk says, Ba'eshet bahar, I was sitting on Har Sinai. So one simple answer is that the word Va'eshev doesn't always mean to sit as opposed to stand. It means l'hisakev. As the pasuk says, Basukas teishu shivas yamin. So the Rosh in Maseches Sukkah says, Basukas teishu doesn't mean you should sit in the Sukkah. It means you should dwell in the Sukkah. Dira. Tisakvu means l'hisakev. Is Basukas teishu. Here also, Va'eshet Bahar Abayim Yom Abayim Loila doesn't necessarily mean I was sitting in Har Sinai. Maybe it was really Anochi Amadeti Bahar. And Yeshiva just means he was Misakev. But the Gemara gives out several other suggestions where the Amoraim really assumed that Va'eshet Bahar is to be taken literally, that he sat. So the Gemara says part of the time he was standing, part of the time he was sitting. So when was he standing, when was he sitting? So the Gemara has one suggestion. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught the Dinim to Moshe Rabbeinu directly, out of respect for the Shechina, Moshe Rabbeinu would stand. But then, when Moshe Rabbeinu was reviewing on his own, he was chazering the Dinim, and the Shechina was not there right in front of him, learning with him. So then there was no longer an issue of Kavod HaShechina, so then he would be sitting. That's one of the suggestions the Gemara gives. And another Gemara has another suggestion, which is often relevant, Halacha L'maisa. Gemara says maybe, one of the Amoraim says maybe the pshat is as follows. Sometimes he stood, sometimes he sat, maybe koshes miyushav and rakas miyumah, maybe the difficult, complicated halachas. So for those halachas, Moshe Rabbeinu would sit because he needed more concentration. Whenever it was an easy halacha, then rakas, the easy dinim, would be miyumah. He would be in a standing position. What does it mean? So they quote in the name of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, what it seems to mean is the following, that really, in principle, out of Kavod HaTorah, we should really always stand. We should always stand out of Kavod HaTorah when we learn. There's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, there's a mitzvah of Kavod HaTorah. The Pasuk says you have to stand when they say Vatokam, you have to stand when the Talmud Chacham comes by. So the Gemara says, if you stand up and tell up Deho, Omdim, you certainly have to stand when they carry a Sefer Torah into the room. So there's a mitzvah, Kavod HaTorah, and they say the Tokum. But what do you do if there's a conflict between Kavod HaTorah and Talmud Torah? I'm going to be the kind of mitzvah of standing, and it's going to be a complicated, difficult halacha that I won't be able to grasp it entirely. I'll miss out on the understanding of the depth of the halacha. So if there'll be a conflict, if there'll be a contradiction between Talmud Torah and Kavod HaTorah, then Talmud Torah takes precedence over Kavod HaTorah. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. The koshas, the difficult dinim, he would compromise and he wouldn't fulfill Kavod HaTorah. He would sit because Talmud Torah takes precedence over Kavod HaTorah. But the rakos, the easier dinim, he would learn, the yuman, he would stand. Pasuk says he stayed on Har Sinai 40 days and 40 nights. Lechem lo yachalti, mayim lo shasisi. He didn't eat and he didn't drink for 40 days and 40 nights. How was that humanly possible? So obviously, this was a miracle. This is l'mayla min ha-teva. So, Moshe Rabbeinu was a very unusual individual. The Baruch Hashem gave him extremely unusual talents. So the Kuzari has a famous, by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi has a famous comment. He takes it that Moshe Rabbeinu was not different from any other Jewish person. All the Jewish people have this ability, a principle. We all have the ability to concentrate on a Gilui Shechina for 40 days and 40 nights without eating or drinking the whole time. So the Kuzari has a famous line, he he says that the Greek philosophers divided everything in the world into four categories. Dagim tzameach chai medaber. So he thinks that we have to divide it. There has to be a fifth category. Chai means living. Dagim means the earth. Mineral. And then you have vegetable. And then you have animal, mineral, vegetable. And then you have human being. Human being is a different category. So the Puzari thinks that we have to divide the category of human beings further into another category, today Israel. There's a fifth category. It's totally different. Even though human beings are all different from each other, and animals are different from each other, but the difference between B'nai Yisrael and the Yom Asylum is so different, it belongs in a different category. So he says that the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights and he didn't die, a normal person would die. That's impossible. So he takes it not as the uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, this shows that B'nai Yisrael are different. It's like a malach. Angels don't have to eat or drink, they can exist. But in Israel, all have this talent, all like Malach. It was famous Rav Chaim Moser, who was the last Rav in Vilna, died in the middle of the Second World War, had such great respect for his good friend Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. He learned in Volozhin, where Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was there, the last years in the Volozhin Yeshiva. Volozhin Yeshiva was founded by Rav Chaim Volozhin, who was a student of the Vilna Gaon in the year 1801, 1802, approximately something like 1802. And it was closed by the NKVD, whatever, the Russian Secret Service. It was closed in 1892. It was closed 90 years later. So the last years of the Volozhin Yeshiva, Rav Chaim Volozhin, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was there. So Rav Chaim Moser was very respectful. He was very close to Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. He refers to him with great respect. He didn't consider him his Rebbe. He considered him above him, but very friendly. Alufi umiyudoi, he calls him, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So he used to say that the world is divided into five categories. Damim Tzameh Chai Medaber and Briskerov. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was Briskerov by him. And he got this language, this Melitza, he got from the Kuzari. Kuzari divides the world into five categories. Damim Tzameh Chai Medaber and Bnei Yisrael are a separate unit. This morning by the davening, many shuls start tefillah with the chazan reciting the Birchas HaShachar out loud, and everybody says amen. The idea behind this is that the Gemara learns out from the Pasuk in today's Sedra that one is obligated to recite 100 brachas every day. Pasuk in today's Sedra says, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shol Mi'imach, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask of you? Avos Hashem, Iros Hashem, and so on. He's not asking that much, just Avos Hashem and Iros Hashem. So Gemara learns out from the Pasuk, we should recite 100 brachas every day. That's how many Mishnayim learn pshat. Tosfos has another pshat that if you count up the letters of the pasuk, there are 100 letters. Not that it's a play on words, on the word Mo Hashem Elokecha. Mo should be understood as if it says Meya, but rather that there are 100 letters in the pasuk. The way we have the pasuk, it only has 99 letters. So Tosfos raises that issue. Which letter is the missing letter in our Sefer Torah? It's a question whether this is really to be taken as a real drasha gemara. This is a real din deraisa that you learn out from the pasuk adin men haTorah. One of the mitzvahs haTorah you have to recite 100 brachas every day. Or it's only an asmachta midrabbanan. Most assume that it's only midrabbanan, but there is an opinion in the Rishayim that this is a din deraisa. So very often we don't really recite 100 brachas every day. If you keep on eating snacks all day long, so you say a bracha chreis sha'akal before, a bar mitzvah mezonos before, then you say bracha chrein after. But people are not such pigs. They don't eat all day long. So how do you get 100 brachas? So the Beis Yosef quotes a medrash on the pasuk in the end of Shir HaShirim. Hayashavus baganim chaver makshiv l'kol hachashmi'ini. That on Shabbos, the Shemoneh Esrei is so much shorter. Instead of having the 19 brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei, in Daven Shachris Musaf Mincha Meirev, to daven so many different tefillahs, but the Shmoneh Esrei is so short. You only have seven brachas in the tefillahs of Shabbos. So they would make up the missing brachas by Hayasheres Baganim. They would sit in the gan on Shabbos afternoon, and everybody would eat peiris. I would say Baruch Miwaits. Peiris, of course, have to be plucked off before Shabbos. If they fell down on Shabbos, and the Mishnah says you're not permitted to eat peiris on Noishrim, on Shabbos or Yom Tov. And then each person would say Baruch Miwaits. And the whole group, Chaber Makshiv Melekoel Chashmini, all the members of the group would say Amen after paying attention to the bracha. Chaber Makshiv Melekoel, they would all listen to the bracha that I said. So kol ha'ena omen acha ha'bracha ki lo'hoiti bracha mipiv domi. And Mar says, one who recites omen after a bracha is considered as if he himself said the bracha. So that was the minig in Europe, that the Baal Tefillah gets up and he says all the 15 birchas ha'shachar out loud. Everybody says amen. And then another person gets up by the chassidim they had, even before the chassidim, by the svarim they had, another person would get up. He would say all the 15 brachas out loud. Then the next person would say, so every time I answer Amen 15 times to the 15 brachas, that counts as another 15 brachas. So you would have your Meir brachas before you even started chakras. Before Pesukah de Zimah, you would have the Meir brachas. An objection was raised to this practice, that if you said Amen to all the 15 brachas hashach of somebody else, then basically you were yotzi all the brachas. How can you get up later and say the brachas? Unless you have explicitly in mind not to be yotzei the bracha. You just want to be yotzei the main brachas, and you don't want to be yotzei the bracha. So that was a big dispute in Europe. Is this practice proper? Should the Rabbanim approve of this practice? That everybody gets up and says the brachas on shachar, and all the other members of the shul say amen? And that's the way to fill in your mea brachas. But there was such a practice. The Haftarah, the Inyan of the Yom. So usually, Inyan of the Yom means something that has a connection
7 weeks
with
Haftarah.
Sometimes Inyan of the Yom has to do with the season of the year. So the three Shabbosim in the 3 weeks, we recite the plus of the Paranusa, the three Haftarahs they have to do with the Nevi'im, saying the Vuah, that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed and the Beis HaMikdash is going to be sent into Golus. 7 weeks following Tisha B'Av, we read in Yom HaDiyamah is Nechama. So we read the Shev de Nechamta, Shev de Nechamta, the seven Haftarahs about Nechama. So tomorrow morning, the Haftarah is V'tomet Zion Azavani Hashem Hashem Shechani. That the Jewish people complain that we have the impression as if Hashem has forgotten all about us. So the Navi says, B'nevuah, does a mother ever forget her own baby? Does a mother ever forget about her own baby to have Rahmanis on it? So the Navi says, yes, once in a while we see that a mother does forget about her own baby. That will happen once in a while. But the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Bnei Yisrael exceeds that a mother has for her own child. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never forget Bnei Yisrael. So the simple pshat in the Haftarah is Gamele Tishkachna, that sometimes will be forgotten. The love that a mother has for her own child sometimes is forgotten. Sometimes we hear terrible, tragic stories. Mother forgot all about her baby, left the baby in the car, left the baby on the bus, left the baby in school or some ridiculous things. Gamele Tishkachna, sometimes that will be forgotten, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never forget Bnei Yisrael. So the Medrash has a comment which has become very famous. The Yalkut Shemani quotes from early in the Droshim, when the Jewish people sinned with the Chet HaEgel, so they used the expression Ela Elohecha Yisrael. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself at HaSinai, so he used the expression Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That's how the Aseres HaDibros begins. So the Navi says Gam Ela Tishkachna. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he will forget about the Chet HaEgel, Ela Elohecha Yisrael, but the schus that Bnei Yisrael have for participating willingly, with great excitement, for participating in Mamin HaSinai, Ba'anochi lo yashkachech, that will not be forgotten. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has selective memory. He will remember the schusim that we have, and he will forget the averis that we did. Why should that be so? Is that fair, that he has selective memory? You only remember the good things, you don't remember the bad things. And the answer, Alpi Pashtus, is that every person has Milas and Chesreinus, and every city and everything in life has Milas and Chesreinus. If a couple is married, then each spouse will always remember all the Milas and all the Chesreinus of the spouse, so they'll never be Sholem Bayis. So everyone loves their spouse. Whatever Chesreinus they have, we ignore, because the Milas outweigh the Chesreinus. That was the calculation that we made when we got married, and over the years we decided that the Milas outweigh the Chesreinus. Person lives in a certain city, so every city has Milas and Chesreinus. Person has a job in a certain location, so every job has its Milas and Chesreinus. So the person, if he really would be so disappointed with his marriage and with his vocation and with the city where he lives in, he would move. So in other words, the person doesn't move and he remains married. He decided that the Milas outweigh the Chesreinus. You don't want to have a love-hate relationship all the time, always remembering the Chesreinus. Shut, you forget the Miyut, and you remember the right. Mr. Hitler must have done some Maisa Chesed once in a while also, but he's remembered for his Averis. And Tzadikim, Ein Tzadik Barso, Shiasa Tov, Elo Yechta, every Tzadik does Averis also, but we ignore the Averis, because the mitzvahs by far outweigh the Averis. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the basic Lebanese Yisrael are wonderful tzaddikim. That's why Gamelet Tishkachna, the punishment that we deserve because of the Chetah Egel will be forgotten, Eila Lech Yisrael will be forgotten. But the schus that we deserve, because we excitedly and willingly participated in the Maimon HaSinai, Anochi Lo Yashkech, that will never be forgotten. So this is quite a nechama. That's why this Haftarah was chosen as one of the Shev Benachem, one of the seven Haftaras that we read between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah. We read twice about Bal Tosef and Bal Tigra. And we're not permitted to change any of the halachas. You're not permitted to add on anything. You're not permitted to take off. But nonetheless, every so often we have a din, min ha-ta'adir, real din deraisa, that over the generations did change. So we had yesterday's Kriya, the mitzvah Birchas HaMazon. The mitzvah applies if you eat bread, Eretz HaShalem, in this case, Tachal Balechem, Echalta Mesavot HaVirachta HaShem HaVakecha. So the Gemara says that if a person eats enough bread, Kidei Sviya, that he's obligated to recite Birchas HaMazon in a Torah. The person only eats Kazayas, it's only the Rabbanan or a Minik, the Hemedakti Kemalatzmam, Afilat Kazayas, Afilat Kibetza. That's not Minatur. But if you eat Pas, Kibet Sviya, then you're obligated to recite Birchas HaMazon Minatur. So the Gemara says that in the Midbar, when they would eat a meal, Moshe Rabbeinu composed the first bracha till the end of Azan HaSakol. But biblically, we're obligated to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Eretz Yisrael as well. Because the Pasuk reads, Echalta v'savota v'rachtas Hashem alakech al ha'oretz ha'toy v'ashem asamach. You have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having given us Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says that only after Yeshua ben Nun conquered Eretz Yisrael, took 7 years to conquer the land from the Lamed Aleph Malachim, so after the land was conquered, then they had Eretz Yisrael, then they thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though it already belonged to Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, Kum Yisalach Ba'aretz La'orko Le'rachbo Kiduchoa Tineno. And the Gemara understands that that was not a promise that was going to be fulfilled in the distant future. When Avraham Avinu walked around the borders of the land, he was kind of the land where the Kinyan Chazaka. And we have halachas based on that assumption. Eretz Avraham Avinu. Eretz Yisrael belonged to the Jewish people from the days of Avraham Avinu, and we never lost our bailus. All the years, you don't have to appreciate the fact that the British gave us Eretz Yisrael. It didn't belong to the British, and it didn't belong to the Turks, and it didn't belong to the Babylonian army who conquered it at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon. It didn't belong to the Romans who conquered. Usually there's an international din of Kibush Melchama. I learned that from Sukkim and Chumash. Whenever one country is victorious in battle against another country, so the country who wins the war acquires ownership of all of the land and all of the movable items and all of the people as avodim. And we assume based on Pesukim Chumash that Eretz Yisrael is the one and only exception to the rule. Eretz Yisrael, we never lost our ownership. But the obligation to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Eretz Yisrael only set in after Yishuv Ben Nun conquered the land, after it was actually delivered to us. Just because it was given to Avraham Avinu, but Lemaisa he didn't have it. It was given, he had a kinyan, but he didn't own Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says that Yishuv Ben Nun composed the second bracha. And once it was composed, it was a din ben atar. Then the Gemara says, when David HaMelech established Yerushalayim as his capital, and Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, then there was a biblical obligation in Torah to add on a third bracha to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Yerushalayim. The Gemara understands this in the Pasuk, Yechalta v'savata v'rachta v'sasham alakecha al ha'oretz ha'toivo. Al ha'oretz means the second bracha, doida l'cho. We thank you for giving us Eretz Yisrael. And we thank you for giving us ha'toivo. Ha'toivo is a reference to ha'or ha'toiv ha'zeva ha'levona. Ha'or Yerushalayim. Thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim has two aspects. Yerushalayim is both Mikdash Melech as well as Bir Melucha. It's the makam of the Beis HaMikdash, and it's officially the capital of Eretz Yisrael. Al Pidin, there are halachas. Based on the assumption, it doesn't matter whether the American Congress does recognize or doesn't recognize, the halacha declares that Yerushalayim is the official capital of Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam, at the beginning of Hilchos Malachim, quotes halacha from the Talmud Yerushalmi that only a king who is the official king, the Malchus HaNemcheres, is Malchus Beis David. The other kings, other than descendants from Malchus Beis David, have a din of Melech, have all the din of Melech, but it's not the Malchus HaNemcheres. It's not the chosen kingdom. Malchus HaNemcheres only, alone, has the right to use Yerushalayim as its capital. The other kings, other than Malchus Beis David, have to have a different capital. In case people were wondering, how come there's so many palaces here in Eretz Yisrael, in Morocco? So in Eretz Yisrael, you have to have more than one palace. The Malchus Beis David's palace has to be in Yerushalayim. And the other kings have to have a palace somewhere else, not supposed to be in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says that the nature of the mitzvah of Birchas Hamazon d'Oraisa changed. In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, it was only obligatory to say the first bracha, Al Horetz Mama Mazen. After Yeshua ben Nun conquered Eretz Yisrael, it did change, and now in Atari you're obligated to say the first two brachas. And thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Eretz Yisrael as well. Then after David HaMelech established Yerushalayim as the capital of Eretz Yisrael, so he had to add on the third bracha. Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he added on the second half of the third bracha. For so many years, Yerushalayim was not the capital of Eretz Yisrael. There was no Jewish government, and still there's no Beis HaMikdash. And that's why the bracha was changed. After the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the nusach of the bracha was changed. And we say, Rachem Noah, Hab Rachmanis, Tzatzim Mishkan Kvedecha, Malchus Beis David Mishitecha, Hab Rachmanis and the Malchus Beis David. Hab Rachmanis on Yerushalayim, which is supposed to be the capital of Eretz Yisrael. So when you're asking Hab Rachmanis, that's probably only the Rabbanan. When you actually have Malchus Beis David, you actually have Yerushalayim serving as the capital and as Mikdash Melech Melucha, then it's a din ben atar. You have to recite that bracha. So the nature of the mitzvah of Birchas Hamazon changed over the years, but this is not a pella. It's not a violation of the principle. The Rambam lists off 13 Ikari Amuna. So one of them is the Yikar Shazos Atar Losi Imuchlefes. The laws of the Torah never change. Bal Tosif and Bal Pikra. So it's not a violation of that principle. The Chumash says, V'chalta b'savot v'rachtas Hashem alakecha al ha'oretz ha'toyva shenas aloch. So if and when you have ha'oretz, when you have Eretz Yisrael, you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They didn't yet have Eretz Yisrael. Even after you have Eretz Yisrael, for a few centuries until David HaMelech establishes Yerushalayim as the official capital, so you don't have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Ha'oretz HaToyva. HaToyva refers to Yerushalayim. Until Shlomo HaMelech builds the Beis HaMikdash, you don't have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving you the Beis HaMikdash. And this mitzvah that changed over the years, the nature of the mitzvah changed. That's based on the pasuk in Chumash. Same is true regarding the mitzvah of Bris Milah. mitzvah of Bris Michel was given to Avraham Avinu, and it was repeated by Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai. And not until the days of Yeshua ben Nun did they perform the Bris Michel the way we observe it today. Mara says in Yevamos, towards the end of Yevamos, Perika Orel, that the two parts to the Bris Michel, Bris Michel and Kriya, the two membranes, a thicker membrane and a thinner membrane. So we cut off both. Or we cut off the thick one, we fold back the thin membrane, whatever. So the requirement to do Kriya in addition to Mila only began in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. So Tosfos is bothered with the kasha because Yeshua ben Nun was told when he came to the city Gilgal, Shul Bolas ben Yisrael Shenis. You should do a second time Bris Mila. How can you do a second time Bris Mila? Whoever had a Bris, there's nothing left to cut. So obviously, until the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they only did Mila. From the days of Yeshua ben Nun, the nature of the mitzvah changed. You have to do Kriya. So Tosfos was bothered with the kasha. We just had it yesterday. Daf Yomi, we were learning. And Mari asked, how can Yecheskel come up with a new din? It was unheard of till the days of Yecheskel Anavi. They should have given him the death penalty. He's a Navi Asheker if he comes up with a new din. The Tosfos answered, it must have been a halacha l'Moshe Sinai. Like the Gemara says, Adorsi Yecheskel man amar, until Yecheskel came up with this din. Whoever heard of the din? So how did Yecheskel have them on us to say that it was given a new din benefit? And Mar says, no. Till the days of Yecheskel, it was known as Torah Shabbat. They had a Lacha Moshe Messina. Also Yecheskel came to ask Mechayakra. He recorded it in the Tanakh. But the din, he didn't come up with a new din, Yesh Meyai. The din was known before. That's what Tosfos says. It must be that that's the pshat by the Bris Mila as well. Until the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they only had Mila, they didn't have Kriya. But it must be that Moshe Rabbeinu must have told them that a day will come when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will tell a Navi to change the nature of the mitzvah. So it is a mitzvah that changed, but the change was told already to Moshe Rabbeinu. Similarly, the Gemara says that all the Sefer Torah is a dispute, the Machlokes HaTanoim, a historical dispute. And the accepted position is that all the Sefer Torah from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu until the days of Ezra were written in a different alphabet. It wasn't written in what we call Ksav Ashuris. The Ksav that we use is called Ksav Ashuris because it's the alphabet Ksav Sholei Moimei Ashur. They brought this alphabet back when they returned to Eretz Yisrael at the beginning of the Vaisheni period after the 70 years of the Golus Bottle. So they came back from Eretz Ashur, so they brought this alphabet with them. Rishonim all asked, what do you mean? They should have given the death penalty to Ezra? What if Ezra's changing the nature of the din? Now from now on, you have to write Sefer Torah with a different alphabet. Is that a major change? The Gemara says to change, to make, the Gemara thought that at one point, they changed the script of the Sefer Torah to change the final letters. Mem, Nun, Tzadik, Pei, Chof have a form of surasois when it's in the middle of the word and when it's at the end of the word, a different surasois. So the Gemara thought at one point that this was changed in the days of the Shoftim. The Gemara says it can't be. Can't change the dinim. That's an ikar. It's one of the ikar, the 13 ikarim of the Ramah, that the laws of the Torah don't change. So how could you change the whole script of the Sefer Torah? So that's what the Rishonim explained. The Gemara points out that based on the Pasuk in Chumash that the Melech, in addition to writing a Sefer Torah, like every individual Jew has to either write or commission the writing of a Sefer Torah, we usually do it every 10 years or so, now every 3 years, someone in the neighborhood writes a Sefer Torah, and we participate, everybody participates by chipping in, you give $5, they collect a lot of money, the community writes a Sefer Torah together, or everyone participates by writing a nice in the Sefer Torah. So we follow that opinion that you can fulfill a mitzvah, ksiva Sefer Torah, b'shutfis. So we do it b'shutfis. So the Pasuk says that everyone is obligated to write a Sefer Torah. The Melech is obligated to write a second Sefer Torah, Sefer Torah Sheni. So the Pasuk says, v'kasav lo, it's Mishnah HaTorah Hazos. So we usually translate Mishnah HaTorah Hazos, a second copy of a Sefer Torah. Every Jew has to write one copy of a Sefer Torah, or commission the writing, or purchase a Sefer Torah. And the Melech has to write a second one. So the Gemara says that they always had a tradition that the word Mishnah, in addition to meaning a second copy of the Sefer Torah Sheni, has another additional level of interpretation, Miloshin Shinoi, that the Ksav of the Sefer Torah is a Ksav She'osid Lehishtanos. Moshe Rabbeinu was told, and he told Bnei Yisrael, that right now we write the Sefer Torah in Ksav Livoino, Ksav Yivri, the old alphabet that they have used on the Hammurabi stones. They used to write with an old alphabet, so the old Sefer Torah used to be written in that Ksav. Ezri came and he changed it. He told everybody, he was told Benevua, and now is the time to change. And what do they believe in? They didn't believe Osa Ha'ish, they didn't believe Mohammed, but he said the laws of the Torah no longer apply. They were Novi Ashekas. How do they believe Ezra Sefer? The answer is because the Pasuk says, Ksav Sha'osid Lishtanos. The Rambam writes there's only one din that has yet to change. The Rambam says that there's only one more din that has yet to be changed, that says in the Chumash is going to change. That until, for so many generations, there were only six or in Mikvah, three in Eivar Yad, three in Eretz Yisrael. And we'll have to add another three Ori Mikvot. So that is not a change, that says in the Chumash itself. That has yet to be fulfilled in the future.